Hi, this is Steve Chandler, and today we're going to take my book, The 17 Lies, and we're going to apply it to wealth. When I wrote The 17 Lies, I was writing about clients I had. It was really interesting to me that clients I had who sat down to work with me, coaching clients, who wanted to have a better life, and wanted to make more money and wanted to succeed more or have better relationships, whatever their project was, the first thing we had to get out of the way was how they were disconnected from reality. In other words, when they weren't really living in the real world, and I mean the real world in a real positive, wonderful, kind way, when they weren't really appreciating how the world was actually lined up to help them with their project, we would have to take away the lies that disconnected them from the real world. In other words, they were telling themselves things that weren't true, and because they weren't true, they were very confused, out of alignment with what was possible. So, for example, let's say I tell myself that Mexico is to the north of me. And here I am in Arizona, and I want to go to Mexico, and I tell myself Mexico is up north. To get to Mexico, I need to head north and start driving in that direction. Now, that's not really true that Mexico is north of me, and because it's not true, all the things I now try to do are going to fail. In other words, my goal of getting to Mexico is not going to work out for me because my basic belief that it's to the north is incorrect. And I keep telling myself it's to the north, but it's incorrect. So I had clients who kept telling themselves things that weren't really true. And because they were doing this, they were disconnected from their real power, their real strengths, their real talent, and their real resources. So my first job in coaching people was to help them see how the world really worked and how they were lying to themselves. Now I use the word lie because it's the opposite of the truth. But lie kind of suggests that you're doing this deliberately, trying to sabotage yourself, afraid of success and all that. That's not really true. It's just confusion. And I used the word lie because it was really dramatic. You know, you try to write a book that has some drama, so it will sell. Fortunately for me, this book has sold quite well, and I've been very happy with it. And so many people over the years have come back to me either through email or letters or calling, leaving a message, telling me that this book has meant a lot to them because they found in reading it that they themselves were telling these lies. The beautiful thing about these lies is that once you can really see them, they're no longer your internal belief system, so they no longer run you. They no longer drive your life with all this misperception. So notice what happens when you believe, for example, that Canada is to the south of you. You now head south, hoping to get to Canada, and oh my goodness, you're not in Canada at all, are you? This is why the lies must be dealt with. Today, we're going to look at these 17 lies, and these were the ones that my clients told the most often, and the ones I really had to work with, and also I found them in my own life. In other words, these were lies, these 17, that kept my own life for many years totally stuck, spinning my wheels, confused, not succeeding, not achieving, and certainly not knowing how to create wealth. I mean, for years and years, I had no clue, I had no strength in that area, I didn't know how to apply my imagination to it, so I was really lost when it came to making money. And this all got turned around, fortunately for me. And what I would like to do now is turn it around for anyone listening, including you. So, lie number one is, it's who you know. In other words, all power is outside of me. Only other people can grant me success. And knowing the right people or knowing enough people is the key to me being successful. So this is kind of a carryover from childhood, where we are programmed to see that our guardians, whoever they are, the two parents or two guardians, the adults running our lives when we're kids, that these people have all the power. And in order to get what I want, whether it's food or candy or money for baseball cards or money for video games, whatever it is, to get that, I have to please these people outside of me. So I'm kind of conditioned going into adulthood to believe that it's just who you know. And so when I coach people, they've got all these things going on that are designed to have them know more people. So they've got marketing things going on, they've got branding things going on, and they've got all sorts of ways to get out there and network and meet more people. And they think somehow, if they meet enough of the right people, that alone will put them in a better position to make money. And this really is not true, because your success when it comes to wealth and creating wealth is not about who you know. It's really about what you do, how you serve. That's the key to your success. So if you create something wonderful and beautiful, whether it's an iPad or a best-selling book or a bakery shop or a service coaching people, anything in the world, it's what you do. It's how you serve that brings you wealth. Because these people, the people you thought were most important in the world, will tell other people about you. So it's not just who you know. So all this obsession with getting other people to be impressed with me and won over by me and all of this stuff and thinking it's a numbers game, that's not really it. What I really want to do is serve people so well that they tell other people and those other people come for my product or my service. And that's the key to creating wealth. So I've got to get this thing called it's who you know out of my system, because I waste so much time connecting on Facebook, email, whatever is the latest. By the time this comes out, there'll be new things. And Facebook will sound laughable like MySpace or 8-track tapes. I don't care. The principle will always be the same. It's not who you know. It's what you can do. And not only what you can do, but what you do, what you actually do each day to serve other people, that's the key to creating wealth. So that's lie number one. Lie number two is one that clients present to me and that I believed for a very long time. And most every client who comes to me, whether she has a business or whatever she's doing, believes lie number two, and that's this. There's something wrong with me. That's the belief. That's the lie. No, there's nothing wrong with you. And when you can see that there's nothing wrong with you, then you can really relax and create and serve and create wealth. But if you're walking around thinking that there's something wrong with you, that you have all these character flaws and personality defects, what happens is you forget about your strengths, you forget about what you really love to do, what you're really good at, and all you focus on are these imaginary defects. So this is really a problem for people who want to make money, create wealth, become financially secure. The focus on the defect, the focus on the personal wounds I picked up in childhood that now translate into there's something wrong with me, will keep you from being happy and successful. So it's not true that there's something wrong with you. That's just a belief. And the belief is keeping you from being as happy as you can be. Lie number three is called, I'm too old for that. Now, I hear this all the time, but I also hear another version of this lie called, I'm too young for that. So, for example, I have some friends and clients and colleagues who are coaches, consultants, and they're very young. They're in their 20s, some of them. And they think, well, who am I to coach some 50 or 60 year old person. I'm only in my 20s. Who am I to be a consultant? And so they've got this lie flipped to I'm too young. Now, other people have the lie called I'm too old. I'm too old for that. That's just a flat out lie. For example, in my life, I used to believe this lie. And so I was in my 30s, and then I was in my late 30s, and I had these dreams in the back of my mind. I'd always liked to write books and be a speaker, but oh my gosh, it's way too late. I'm in my late 30s. Now I'm in my 40s. Now I'm in my mid-40s. Now I'm in my late 40s. Still haven't written a book. So the dream of being an author and writing books and receiving royalties and giving talks, well, that's gone. I mean, I'm in my late 40s, and everybody knows for a career you have to start young and stay with it and develop it. Well, just a lie. And because that wasn't true, I kept myself all those years from really succeeding. Well, it was worse than that. I kept myself from really using my talent, my strength, and creating wealth. So, of course, I bounced around various jobs that sort of had me be a writer in a way. You know, I was a sports writer for a while, and then I was a songwriter for 5 years, and then I was an advertising copywriter. So I was doing writing. The income was very limited in each case. And all of a sudden, fortunately for me, I realized that I'm too old for that is just a lie. I mean, it's just not true. And so from that moment on, I realized age means nothing. The real question is, what do I want to do? How can I do it in such a way that people would love it so much that they'd pay for it? That's really the only question here. Nothing to do with age. And lie number four is, I can't because I'm afraid. That's the lie. So can you do that? Can you call that person? Can you walk into that building and get a meeting with that person? No, I can't. I'm afraid. Now, this lie is one we pick up in adulthood. Notice that in childhood, we didn't believe this. In other words, we did a lot of things we were afraid to do. We saw other kids doing them, and we thought, heck, I'm doing that. And I feel really afraid. Oh, what the heck? I'm doing it anyway. And so here I go jumping off the high board, or here I go sliding down a huge hill in my sled, or all kinds of amazing things, because even though I'm afraid, I'm doing it. Even though I'm afraid, I'm doing it. Now notice what happens as we progress and evolve into adulthood. All of a sudden, we become more skilled at avoiding things. We become more skilled at aversion. And pretty soon, our highest value is comfort. I want to be comfortable. So it's not just that I can't do it because I'm afraid to. Now it has morphed into, I can't do it because I'm not comfortable doing it. I mean, I can't tell you how many people have told me, I'm not comfortable doing that. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not really comfortable doing that. And so, therefore, the standard for action now becomes, am I comfortable? Now, notice what kind of a life a person has if they only do what they're very comfortable doing. There's no excitement. There's no more adventure. There's no breakthrough. And usually, there's no wealth. There's no money to be made. So let's drop that. I mean, listen to the lie. It says, I can't because I'm afraid. As if being afraid or uncomfortable is the cause of my not doing it. That's not true. That's a lie. You can do things you're afraid to do. You can do things you're uncomfortable doing. And the minute I can see that, I change my relationship to discomfort. I develop a new relationship with discomfort. I'm able now to have the kind of relationship with discomfort that allows me to achieve things I never achieved before, especially in the world of creating wealth. Now let's look at lie number five. Lie number five is, I'd love to do that, but I don't have the time. Well, okay. So, really that's not true. It's not that you don't have the time, it's that you don't have the commitment. You don't have the priority. You don't have the sense of purpose behind it. That's why you're not doing it. It's not that you don't have the time. So, for example, someone shows you a new yoga process that would improve your life, your breathing, your mentality, your spirituality, your flexibility, all these things. And you say, I'd love to do that, but I don't have the time. Well, it's not that you don't have the time. It's that you're choosing not to prioritize yoga. That's it. Same is true with writing a book, for example. So a lot of people are out there in the world. They're doing a wonderful job at what they do. And they sort of realize that if I had a book about my life and my work and my service, it would serve me. And it would be something I could hand down to my children and grandchildren so they would understand me and what I did for a living. And I'd love to do it, but I don't have the time. Well, no, it's not that you don't have the time. It's that you don't have the priority. When I can start to accept the truth that these things I'm choosing not to do are only not being done because I'm choosing not to do them, all of a sudden, I'm returned to my own true power. And that is living at the level of choice. I'm choosing what to do today. I choose to go to work. I'm choosing to do what I do. I'm choosing not to exercise today. Now, the minute I really see the truth of that, power returns to me, and power leaves circumstance. But if I live a life in which circumstance is all powerful, then it's a frightening life. I'm depressed a lot. I'm worried a lot. And just notice that. Work backwards. If you're depressed a lot, if you're worried a lot, especially in the area of money, look at what you're believing and look at how you're lying to yourself. You're not living at the level of choice. You're choosing not to do the things that would have wealth created in your life. It's not that you have circumstantial problems. Larry Winget wrote a kind of nasty book, I would say. At least the title is. It's called You're Broke Because You Want to Be. You're broke because you want to be. Now, I've sent that book to people and they were really offended, which delighted me. You know, you can't really help someone if they remain comfortable at all times in your presence. At least I've found that. I've had people just shriek with a deep sense of offense, like, I've been offended by you. I'm broke because I want to be? How dare you? But really, it wakes people up to the creative side, where they could actually create a solution and create something that would create wealth in their lives. So I'd love to do that, but I don't have the time. It's a lie. You're choosing what you're doing. So if you want to create more wealth, you want to make more money, you want to retire your debts, choose it. Don't be at the mercy of it. Line number six, there's nothing I can do. You know, that's really not true. There are all kinds of things you can do about anything. I'm not guaranteeing a perfect result the way you want it to be, but I am guaranteeing that there are many things you can do. So when someone sits across the table from me and says, there's nothing I can do, I want to disprove that lie, because when you lie to yourself that way, you make yourself powerless. In other words, it's like taking all kinds of downers and depressants and things like heroin and morphine and all kinds of things that keep you so that you can barely act and barely move. That's what these lies do. They're like drugs, and bad drugs. Not good drugs, bad drugs. So if you tell me there's nothing I can do, I jump to the whiteboard and I say, I'm going to list 10 things you can do. So it's hardly nothing. And I number 1 through 10, and I continue talking to you, and I promise you we'll have 10 things up there that you can do. Now, you may choose not to do them, but don't tell yourself there's nothing you can do. Line number 7 is, I worry because I care. So I have clients who come to me and they're not making the kind of money they want to make, and they're not having the kind of life financially they want to have. And part of the reason I discover is they're so worried about certain family members, people in their lives, the economy, the country. They've got all these worries. And because they're so worried, they're easily distractible. They can't stay on the path. And staying on the path is the key to creating wealth. That's really it. Just like getting to Canada, staying on the path, the right path, it's north, is the key to getting to Canada. You can walk as slowly as you like, but if you're on the right path, you'll be in Canada. And the same is true with wealth creation. The problem with people is they don't stay on the path. They drift. They're distracted. They take side roads. They see shiny objects in the forest, so they go off the path and wander into the forest. They hear a certain bird chirping. They can't identify the bird, so they go off the path and wander into the forest. They don't stay on the path. One of the reasons people don't stay on the path is because they're worried about so many things. And they think they worry because they care. They believe it's a result of the love and caring they feel for their mother that they're so worried about her all day long. And they keep calling her to check on her, and they keep doing things, and they talk to other people about her. And they're so worried because they care. It's not because they care. They're worried because they worry. They're worried because they're in the habit of worrying. It's been programmed in over the years. And just notice that when the primary object of worry is removed for whatever reason, you meet that person 6 months after that. They've got a new thing they're worried about, or a new person they're really worried about now. So worrying is a habit that gets in there, and it becomes how we operate throughout the day. And it pulls us off the path. But it's not true that I worry because I care. It's true that I worry because I worry. So I want to see that worry is a misuse of my imagination. So if I have a client and I'm coaching her and she says, I'm worried about my mother, I say, what would you like to do? What would you like to create? And they stare at me like, what are you talking about? What would you like to create right now regarding your mother? Well, I'm worried that she's not seeing the right doctor. Well, what doctor would you like her to see? Well, I'd like her to see this kind of doctor. Let's get the book out. Let's call that kind of doctor. Let's get an appointment. What I want to do when people are worried is upgrade the worry into the level of concern, because now that I'm only concerned and not worried, I'm action-oriented. I'm concerned about my mother's doctor. Therefore, I'm making calls to other doctors, and I'm in action. I'm not worried. I'm concerned, and I'm acting. And that's positive action. That raises your self-esteem. Lie number 8. I'm sadder now, but wiser. Sadder, but wiser. Well, look, wisdom doesn't come from sadness. It's not as if bad things, tragic things, awful things that I learn how to process and accept make me a wise and careful person. That's mythology. That's superstition. That's carried over from the elders of the tribe who were tragic and had so many stories they wanted you to listen to and feel sorry for them about. That's not the real truth. Sadness does not produce wisdom. Experience produces wisdom. And I don't have to be sad about what happens. That's optional. I can use what happens. I can process what happens quickly and use it as a stepping stone to what I'd like to create. So this is a myth that sadness is something that produces wisdom. Not true. Sadness produces lack of activity. Lack of activity produces failure. So, for example, in the wealth arena, people try something, it doesn't make money, and they're depressed and sad. Well, how does that help you? Use what you've learned and get back into action. That's what really helps. Line number 9. The longer I have a habit, the harder it is to break. Not true. Not true. And what's the consequence of believing this? Well, the consequence is that if I believe certain habits of mine, let's say I have a habit of not saving, let's say I have a habit of this or that, that's impacting my financial world. And I believe that because this habit goes way back with me, it's going to be really hard to break. It's going to be really hard to replace. Actually, habits aren't broken, they're replaced. So believing that the longer I have a habit, the harder it is to replace, keeps me from replacing that habit. And the sad thing is, it's not true. Why should I believe something that's not true? It does not assist me. It actually does worse than that. It makes creating wealth all the harder. So here's the real truth about habits. A habit can be developed very quickly. Let's say I take up smoking, and now you see me a month later, and I've been smoking for a month. Now, I'm in the habit of smoking now. When I try to break this habit, it will be as hard for me as someone who has smoked for 12 years, or 20, or 30, or 40 years. How do I know this? Well, I have a very close friend who's a hypnotherapist, Lindsay Brady. Google him. He's brilliant. He has a wonderful book out. But one of the things he explained to me early on is that the duration of time that you have this habit is irrelevant. It doesn't matter. So, for example, in his practice, when he works with people who smoke, if someone's only been smoking for a month or two or a year, the process is the same for them to release that behavior as if they'd been smoking for 20 or 30 years. There's no difference. So, for example, let's say I discover Facebook. And now I'm in the habit, 3 or 4 weeks later, of going on Facebook 5 or 6 times a day to see what my friends are saying, to see who's talking to me, to see if what I put there was liked by anybody. And I'm in the habit of that now. Now, that's a habit that if I want to replace it or alter it or work with it, it doesn't matter if I've been doing it for 5 years or just 3 weeks. It's still a habit. Now, there's good news in this, because this lie that the longer you've had a habit, the harder it is to break, is really not true. So any habit you have that goes way back, even into childhood, can be immediately replaced by other behavior. The minute you can see that, the faster your life can change. And most of our money problems and the things that keep us stuck with wealth are habitual. We habitually spend a certain way, or we habitually under-earn, or devalue our own worth. These kinds of things are habitual, and they go way back in many cases. They can be traced back into early childhood. Now, I had a story in the 17 Lies of what it was like when I was a child and I was trying to do my chores, and my father would say, well, you know, you didn't deserve your allowance this week. You didn't really finish that chore, but I'm going to pay you anyway. So I got the message, I don't deserve to be paid. Now, I got in the habit of believing that. And then I got in the habit of thinking I couldn't finish things. And then I got in the habit of not finishing things and being underpaid for everything I did. That was a habit. But the minute I could see that that pattern of behavior that was running my life didn't need to be there, and I could choose another pattern, great breakthroughs were able to happen quickly. And that's why this lie needs to be disproven. It's not true that the longer I have a habit, the harder it is to break. It's just not true. Doesn't matter. All habits can be replaced with other behaviors if we get busy and do it. Lie number 10. People really upset me. People upset me. Certain people upset me. In other words, my wife upsets me, my husband upsets me, my teenage son upsets me, my boss upsets me, my client upsets me, the person I work with, my partner, really upsets me. He upset me the other day. So here's what's false about that. I need to get that out of my system quickly. No one can upset me. No one has that power, biologically speaking, because the only thing that can upset me is my own thinking. That's the only thing biologically that has direct access to my emotions. Upset is caused by my thought. It is not caused by your behavior. If you behave one way, and I think you shouldn't be doing that, or it's not fair for you to do that, or it's offensive, then I'm upset. But if you behave one way and I think nothing, how can I be upset? I don't think anything about what you're doing. It's always the thinking. And if I can get straight on this one, and I've written a book about this called Shift Your Mind. Shift your mind so that the things on the outside are no longer causing how you feel. Only the things you create on the inside from now on are causing your feelings. And why would you want to create a bad feeling? You don't. You won't. Lie number 11. Winning the lottery would solve everything. Now, this is a really amazing lie. I've really got to see this. If I'm going to start creating wealth, and I'm going to start earning money by serving people, by creating products or services that truly serve so I can earn my money, if I get on that path, I have to see that a windfall coming to me is not going to assist me. It will not help. Now, how do I know this? Well, secretly we know this. We get it. But you can scientifically measure. There have been a lot of studies done on lottery winners. The tremendous disaster that winning the lottery is for people. There have been books written about it. And my chapter in the 17 Lies talks about it. People win the lottery, and they have unearned money. They spend unearned money differently. They don't cherish it. They don't respect it even. They don't even respect the money they now have. They spend it differently. They feel guilty about it. And all of a sudden, they're in all these schemes and scams, and people are trying to take that money away because people know they just got it from the lottery or an inheritance or some other unearned way of getting money. And it's always a disaster, statistically speaking. 8 out of 10 people are worse off emotionally, life situation, worse off, not better, after winning the lottery. So that's something I really want to get out of my system, because it's not the money itself that has me be financially secure, prosperous. It's what I find that has me earn that money and serve people successfully. That's what creates my happiness, my well-being, and ultimately my financial success, not the money itself. Lie number 12 is kind of a tricky one. It's called, "They're Too Beautiful for This World." And it comes from the song Vincent. And in that song, it's a beautiful song by Don McLean. He wrote about Vincent van Gogh. And the thesis, the theme of the song is, yes, you took your own life, and yes, you didn't live long, because you were just too beautiful for this world. In other words, people who have a big heart, who are altruistic, who care, who are really giving, who are loving, well, they're not going to make much money. In fact, they're not even going to fit in with this greedy, competitive world, the global marketplace. They're not going to fit. Not true. Absolutely not true. There's no relationship between a person's kindness, their big heart, their ability to serve others, their willingness to give and care for other people and be what's known as a beautiful person, and their ability to create wealth. The two are not mutually exclusive. In fact, oftentimes, people who are beautiful people find ways to serve and stay on the path until they create wealth that are powerful, much faster than people who are bitter, cynical, skeptical, manipulative, try to sell, try to close, try to do things that manipulate other people into parting with their money and have a cynical attitude about money and wealth. Those people have a much harder time of making it financially. Line number 13, you hurt my self-esteem. One of the things I've found in working with people to increase their income, which is my favorite thing to do, when I coach people, that's my specialty. That's where I love to work. Other coaches do all kinds of wonderful things. Life coaches who coach the whole life of a person and help them in all these different areas. I like to zero in on how much money are you making? How much would you like to make? What's in the way of that? Why are you your own worst problem here? How do we improve that? How do we fix that? How do we get you started on the path? Because being on the path is what creates wealth. That's my favorite thing to do. Now, what I've found is that self-esteem, especially professional self-esteem, is extremely important, and it really helps people earn money faster to have a very strong sense of themselves professionally, to really know they're good, and to become good deliberately, and then realize that they're good. So they have what the athletes call swag or swagger. They really know how good they are, and the people they serve can pick up on that. Wow, this person really gets how good they are. I like that. They're worth the money I'm going to pay them. So here's what gets in the way of that. People believing that their self-esteem depends on other people. I mean, people really believe that, even though the word itself contains a clue as to where self-esteem comes from. Self-esteem. It's not other people hyphen esteem. It's self-esteem. And it's important to see that. My self-esteem comes from what I think of myself. It doesn't come from what you think of me. And that's important to see. Once I see that, I can create self-esteem in my world. I can build it. I can produce it. Line number 14. It's a shame we didn't capture that on video. Now, that's kind of a funny way to put that lie. The lie really means that the past is all important. I need to keep going over it. I need to film it and show it to my family. I need to capture it and go over it and go over it and go over it. I love what Byron Katie says. What she loves about the past is that it's over. Really, if you're going to create wealth, it has to be now. All wealth is created in the present moment. It can't be created in the past. It can't really be created in the future. It has to be created now, in the present moment. So this is destructive to believe that the past is almighty, the past is what I need to continuously focus on. Not true. What I want to focus on is who can I serve right now? Lie number 15, that's just the way I am. People say that to me. That's just the way I am. That's me. Nothing I can do about it. That's my permanently fixed personality. That's locked in, hardwired. That's in stone, because that's the way I am. That's just the way I am. Well, here's the problem. Who you are is up to you in any given moment. And who you are can change. If you take an acting class, like I did, you'll see this very quickly. You can actually be other people. And if I can be another person in a play I'm rehearsing for, and really inhabit the role of that person, feel the emotion of that person, and demonstrate the emotion I'm feeling of that person. Great actors do this. If an actor can do it, I can too. And if the role is written by a playwright for a play, why don't I write a role? Why don't I write a part for myself and inhabit that role and become that? Well, it's more than possible. It happens every day, all the time, when people wake up to the fact that they can do it. Line number 16. What doesn't kill me makes me stronger. Well, not always. So a long-standing cocaine habit doesn't necessarily make me stronger just because I survived. So it's not really true that what doesn't kill me makes me stronger. I mean, I want to be careful about self-destructive behavior in the area of exercise, nutrition, drugs, things like that. Self-destructive cheating behavior when I have a family I care about, self-destructive drugging behavior, self-destructive nutritional behavior. It's not enough to say, well, whatever doesn't kill me makes me stronger. Not true in many, many areas in life. The final lie, the ultimate lie, and the lie that really encompasses the first 16 lies, is the one that says, I am helpless. In the face of this situation, I am helpless. Well, that's not really true, is it? Ever? I mean, it's really important to see that I am not helpless. Once it gets in my system that I'm helpless in the face of this, I'm helpless in the face of running a business, I'm helpless in the face of money, it becomes self-fulfilling. In other words, any one of these beliefs that suggests I don't have creative power reduces and oftentimes eliminates my creative power. So it becomes self-fulfilling. I am programming helplessness into myself by believing that I am helpless. It doesn't come from any other place. It only comes from the belief. So the lie that says I am helpless is what keeps me helpless, not circumstance. That's the most important one for me to really see. So let's say you tell me you're helpless, and I say, well, let's just check that out. You might be helpless, but I want to check it out if I'm your coach. I don't want to just accept any of your beliefs, by the way. I won't accept any of yours for the same reason that I won't accept any of mine, especially the negative ones, because the positive ones tend to turn out to be true, but only every time. The negative ones, on the other hand, tend to turn out upon examination to be not true, and again, only every time. The problem is it's kind of comfortable to believe I'm helpless. Because if I'm helpless, I don't need to do anything. I would see if I could turn this business around and make it profitable, this little business of mine. But you know what? I'm pretty much helpless now. And therefore, I don't have to do all that hard stuff that I imagine I would probably have to do to turn things around. So there's some comfort in I am helpless. That's why it's so popular. It's a popular position to take. Helplessness. But it won't create wealth. It won't produce the prosperity you really want. and the prosperity that serves you and your family and other people, people around you, people you care about. So, I am helpless is not true. If you believe it's true, I want you to sit across from me and we will work for 4 hours on looking for where in life you are helpless in your mind and what the reality really is. All the things you really could do and all the things, when prompted, you really can think of that might work when prompted. Now, here's the trick and the key. After a while, you're going to want to learn how to prompt yourself in any moment, in any situation where you catch yourself believing there's nothing I can do, I'm helpless, I'm too old, all these lies. Prompt yourself. Well, if there was something I could do, what might it be? And then list 10 things and don't stop until you have 10, and then circle the one that you're going to do right now.